welcome back to Between Two Aroids. My name is Haley Grace and I am your host. This is a podcast where we talk about houseplants, botany, and everything in between. Today we're going to get into overwintering plants. First we're getting into like the scientific part of it, what hormones are triggered, etc. And then a guideline on loose guideline onto how to check if your plants are showing signs of dormancy, care you should take into consider when you're bringing plants in from the summer, things you should consider when the seasons are changing from fall into winter. But just a week update for me. I finally have bought two new plants. I got a Black Mamba Begonia. And it is beautiful. And then I also got a Cissus Amazonica. And this is my first Cissus variety that I'm taking care of. So if you have any tips, please shoot them my way on at Between Two Aroids Pod on Instagram or also on Facebook at Between Two Aroids. But if you have any tips for that, that would be really helpful. I've heard they like high humidity and I heard they like our spider mite magnets, so if you have any more in depth than just that, I would really appreciate it. I also hung two plants today. It's my first time putting looking for joints in the ceiling, and it was still just kind of like I had a stud finder, but trial and error, it said I found a stud, so I'd mark it and I would put it there, and it was like within the vicinity of 3 inches either way from the original hole if it went straight through drywall. But anyway, I'm excited. I got my Hoya Crimson Queen back into a western highlight area. And then I also was able to hang my Exotica Scindapsis, which is in a little less dark area. It gets east sun, but it's really dappled. I can only see my shadow through it probably until like 3 right now with the time change. But I was excited to get those hung because my plants have kind of just been haphazardish as I've settling in, seeing where my light hits and kind of just feeling out where I think these plants should go. But as always, it's ever changing. To get into today's episode about overwintering, I have definitely noticed my plants slowing in growth even with plant lights. I've also just seen stuff has kind of yellowed, even though I'm keeping up on my watering, and they're pretty fertilized from the last time I did it. So overwintering, there is so much to go into. So today I'm just going to cover herbaceous outdoor plants and indoor plants, what to look for. So usually during winter dormancy, you have a decrease or stopping in growth. They're dropping the above ground foliage. Some plants that are bulb, tubers, or from a corm are going to die back to that. Some examples are perennial bulbs for houseplants. It's like your voodoo lily. Sometimes alocasia, if they get too cold, can go back into a corm, like if they are outside as and you're in that kind of like in-between zone, they can sometimes survive a little bit of a frost if it happens a couple times during the year, because tropical plants have also evolved, especially in the evolving and adapting since the genesis of flowering plants, angiosperms. If you remember our Keeping It Classy episode, we talked more in depth about what those are. From that, they've just been adapting, and the climate has changed pretty drastically, and I believe it's in the 60 million years that angiosperms have been around. So there's also reduction in metabolic activity, and this is so that they could survive frost and dehydration during the colder months. Two factors really send out the phytohormones, which is changing of the day length. Days are shorter during end of fall into winter and until mid-spring. And also temperatures will signal phytohormones. They work as growth inhibitors. And I'm going to let Google say the first one that is most common, which is
abscisic acid.
And then there is ethylene. I'm going to try my hand at an abscisic acid is a stress response and is the principal dormancy-inducing and maintaining agent in perennial bulb buds and seeds. They are seen to produce tuber formation in potatoes. It declines throughout the dormancy, but the correct environmental signals must be present to induce this hormone. So it has to get shorter in day length, and it also has to get colder at night. This could mean a freeze, or this could mean a temperature drop of like 10 to 20 when you get into more of desertous zones where they can have really hot days but still very cool nights. And then ethylene. And in potatoes, it's shown to either slow or delay sprouting. With continuous exposure, it will produce growth, but with shortened exposure, prematurely end the tuber dormancy. The spike at the start of dormancy quickly declines. They believe this could be the spike is necessary for the abscisic acid to appear. However, ethylene has not been fully explored in its part in winter dormancy. They just see that it is spikes when it begins, and then it declines throughout until spring comes. So that's just a tidbit into dormancy and what plants do when they are expressing / going through dormancy. There's also summer dormancy that I learned about, so I will definitely be revisiting this in future episodes. And now we're going to go kind of on to indoor gardening and what you should look for since you still are keeping home conditions. It's not dropping into the 30s and 40s, hopefully, and then it's not really getting into the hundreds and 110s. Again, hopefully. Hope y'all are staying cool or warm depending on the seasons. So some things you can look at when you are transferring from fall to winter, that's really the big, when it goes from fall to winter and throughout that time, just give an extra check to your plants. Are you noticing that they're using more or less water? Are they not putting out as much growth? Is it dying back down to a ball, for example, like a voodoo lily or desert rose? And if you are bringing in plants from outdoors that cannot survive your winter or fall, make sure to be checking the weather frequently. You do not want them to get caught in a freeze. Most of your tropical house plants are going to need temperatures that stay above 55. Also, when you're bringing them in, make sure you're checking for pests. You're treating for pests just as a measure to make sure that you're not bringing anything in. A hot soap and water bath and also a really good spray down will get off of those thrips. They will get off aphids pretty easily. But just make sure you are treating your plants before you bring them in for fall and winter. You can also prune back some of your plants that tend to get a little leggy. I've noticed the Tradescantia and also ivy will get pretty leggy if they don't get a regular trim. I know it's kind of frowned upon to propagate during fall and winter, but if it doesn't, it doesn't, and you'll just get a bushier plant when it comes to spring. All of those growth points are going to get hormones sent down to them, and they're just going to stay dormant until they are ready to pop in the springtime. Think about also investing in a humidifier with the heaters running, maybe your fireplace is running. You're going to have a very dry environment most of the time. Investing in a humidifier will just help negate your dormancy possibilities and also negate weird growth to form during this time. I have one that is not a like intense humidifier. It was $24 on Amazon. It did the job. I could maintain like 50 to 60% humidity on the shelf that I was most worried about. So a humidifier is a great idea. Also, some houseplants will drop all their foliage during winter. The desert rose, plumeria, some of these, goodness, there is a word for it, And oh goodness, I can't remember it, but there's a word for plants that hold kind of like a ponytail palm shape where it's just very tuberous, and a caudex. For a lot of plants that have caudex that are desert rosewill, plumeria, so do not freak out if you noticing your leaves are all dropping and the only thing that has changed is the seasons. Maybe do a little bit of research on that if you are familiar with the common name. If not, definitely reach out. I know there are so many people out there that are, you can reach out to me, I'll do my best, but usually just go to Google and kind of describe it and what I think it is in, and sometimes you're lucky. Sometimes, also, I know people use those plant apps or the Google Eye or whatever, and some of the things they come up with, you just know it's not that plant, even though, I digress, but that's something that always makes me giggle what they can come up with in that. Also, fertilizing may be looked down upon in winter, but if you're not using a really intense fertilizer, I mean, I just put on worm castings on my guys, I want to say about 2.5 weeks ago, so beginning of November, I just noticed some of my plants kind of giving out weird growth, smaller growth, so just gave them a slow release fertilizer. You definitely can throw an Osmocote, throw it on at the beginning of fall, or maybe even middle of fall, beginning of winter, and then it will be ready to release when springtime comes around, because it does take a little bit of degradation of that biodegradable ball that the actual fertilizer is in. So Osmocote is great. Repotting, I have mixed views. If you keep it in a warm spot and keep an eye on watering it and really giving it as much chance, somewhere that still gets really bright light throughout the day, even though the daylight is getting shorter, I think it's okay. Just trust your judgment, because they're plants. At a certain point, you have to learn by experience and kind of trust your intuition, and just that you know the plant. If it's super root bound, just be prepared to water it a lot more than you would expect to during fall and winter, because there's just not as much soil to hold the moisture through the week or 10 days that it takes for it to dry out. I personally have noticed my plants are drying out so much more, even though we're at the beginning of September. So I'm watering them sometimes twice a week. I'm not really on a schedule, so I just go around and check them. But it's a lot more than I expected in winter. I'm kind of surprised. I haven't been running my heater, which makes it even weirder. So it's probably just the air is a lot more drier. We have not gotten we haven't gotten snow for the fall. We had a flurry, so there's still been a lot of sunlight. I have noticed kind of the opposite of what I was expecting, but I'm also in a new place, so taking that in consideration, it might just be a drier environment. Also, a fun fact is that drops in temperature at night can actually, during winter, can actually help induce more blooms in spring and summer. This is another overwintering tip for indoor plants. If you have plants on a windowsill, check your window's insulation by kind of feeling it. If you have a temperature gauge, use that. But I have killed many a succulent and a cacti by leaving it on my windowsill during winter, and it snows a crap ton, and then they got cold damage and they just haven't survived. So that's something really to check. But if you do get them in kind of that maybe a 20 degree drop during the day, maybe in an area that you don't heat as often, if you have a heater that's like that, pop them in there and it says you should get some more blooms. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. Thank you again for all the support. It's been really great doing this. And do either myths, I've been wanting to touch on the moisture meter for a little bit here, so it might be myths, or I might go into something else. I really appreciate you all listening. If you're listening on Apple, rate it. If you enjoy it, if you don't, please make me leave like a little nice review because I'm a little sensitive. Also, there are Spotify questions. And I am interested if I left questions, if you guys would be interested in answering them. You can do it through the Spotify app. I think it would just be a cool way to either get how you take care of plants. I am trying to work on getting some video set up. That might be a little bit, maybe after I get my tax returns, I'm able to use this full wall space now. But I would like to do video just because in some cases it will be easier to show than just audio. But have a great day, night, evening, morning, wherever you are listening from. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.